I can be a drink.
I can give you a card.
I got your card, yeah.
Dragon Age, Mass Effect, I'm ready for anything. You were talking with Mac already, you said.
I did talk with Mac, yeah.
Well, you gotta listen to him, not to me, about that game. So,
So my site's all about co-op gaming, right? So neither of those games have co-op, but it's still, it's on our radar, it's big things. You know, Baldur's Gate has history.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's some co-op in that and stuff.
Yeah.
Dragon Age obviously doesn't. Was there ever a time that you guys thought about it? Did you think about it?
I think we thought about it. It's been interesting. Like, our experience with co-op is varied in the sense that, obviously, way back in the Baldur's Gate days we had it. And I think we actually went more multiplayer with Neverwinter Nights, the original Neverwinter Nights.
Right.
I think what we found, though, is we felt that, you know, it was hard to tell a spectacular story and have co-op. Because whenever we added in the multiplayer element to some of our games, people started, like, going as fast as they could through the story to go to the action. And so I think it was actually in some sense a pacing challenge of, like, you know, and I'm sure some friends would get together and play well, but as soon as we cranked it up to four players, there was like mayhem.
Right.
And so that was actually the challenge. And we said, okay, also technically it's really hard. Like, it's like, how do you have a conversation with like multiple people at the same conversation? And we've never really undertaken that, but it's interesting because the guys from Star Wars: The Old Republic,
right, that's what I heard.
They got multiplayer conversations, and they were.
Yeah.
And so I think they were. They're clearly smarter than us, even though they're some of our old guys. They've learned. I think it's the interesting thing about Dragon Age, particularly, is it's sort of got a pseudo co-op experience where you actually can like capture your story experience in a community site with almost like enriched achievements, and then compare and share with your friends.
So, right, it's so like a social co-op.
It's kind of a social co-op. It's interesting because I think it'll allow people to kind of like one of the things we really love about the game, and it's almost like a narrative outside the game, is that conversation around the water cooler about, you know, what do you do to get to the end? And what's amazing about Dragon Age, particularly, is there's so many different options of how you do things. There's like, or there's one scene I was chatting with Ray about. I said, oh, I did this. How'd you do it? He goes, oh, I tried all nine different ways. And I go, oh, that's very interesting. That was the one I did. You know, like, and so it's just, there's all this variety, right? And some are quite meaningful. Some lead to big changes. Some characters appear, disappear. It's really neat. And just have those people share that is really cool.
Yeah. Different designers put on each of the different origin stories?
Yeah, generally we have a writer and designer combination for origin story. To be fair, though, they all still do share stuff back and forth.
Yeah,
so,
the back end they merge.
Yeah, so even though you have like different sets of folks on these things, like there's an editor that kind of goes over all this stuff, and there's also, probably more importantly, the writers all converse with each other and discuss how they're going to, you know, make sure the tone is consistent and make sure that the overall game feels the same.
What engine are you using for Dragon Age?
Is it our own.
Is it the same as Mass Effect?
No, it's different. Since Mass Effect uses a pretty modified version than Unreal 3, whereas Dragon Age is really our own engine. And it was kind of designed with like that kind of game in mind. I mean, obviously Mass Effect's more along the shooting. You can sort of see, like, I mean, it's pretty consistent with kind of how Unreal would play, for example. We've customized it a lot, let me tell you. But with Dragon Age, we wanted to, you know, sort of focus on other things. It's interesting because, I mean, we have some really big battles, like, you know, huge battles that I think might be more challenging than other engines. It's the type of data that flies around, amount of text, and it's very well optimized for the kind of experience we make.
So can you go through like some of those bigger battles? Like, I know I've seen this stuff in the video. Like, how does that play out?
They're generally story-driven. There's a few different battles. Like a big battle could be like 20 or 30 people fighting at the same time, and you're like, you know, your gang of four. Oh, sorry. Your gang of four is part of that, and there's like, actually, I was just doing those like right before I came on Thursday night. Like, I had a whole bunch of times so I kept dying, and I got really late as a result. But, you know, it's really cool. So you suddenly get this whole big battle going on, and everyone's kind of like doing their thing. What's neat is that, again, the character classes are very well differentiated. So, you know, like, the rogues all disappear and start backstabbing people, and the mages are blasting spells from the back, and it's just like,
it's more dangerous even to be in the big battles with multiples.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got to keep track of your guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Well, I remember there's one set, like, in this place called the Deep Roads, where it's like the dwarves have these tunnels.
Yeah,
and so what's really neat is you have this, like, some of the battles have like this really serious depth to them. Like, so the rooms are huge, right? I mean, that's one big difference in the giant. And then you got mages way in the back blasting spells at you, and they're like, how on earth am I going to do this? And so you'll stealth your rogue, you run it back, and you start the battle. Like, I mean, it is a very tactical game, and that was actually one of the big things.
You could pause the combat anytime,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
It's also, like the Mass Effect wheel kind of.
Yeah. Did you play it on 360?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was an interesting thing. One thing we really tried to do was make sure that like console players didn't feel like they were missing any of the power or functionality of PC. But the challenge in doing that was finding a system that wasn't like horrible to like actually use those powers. And I think the ring actually works really well because, I mean, centers for targeting, but then you have two layers. One is sort of a categories, and then the outer layer, when you press a category, it gives you specifics.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I mean, I've been using it for like on my Xbox playthrough, and it's really slick. Like, I mean, to be clear, we've refined it for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's every week we kind of tweak it continually. So
uh-huh.
It's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think games are finally starting to nail, like, if you're taking stuff on the PC and bringing it to the console, that, like, okay, you got to do radial stuff to really, like, nail the controls down for it, or else you're going to sacrifice something.
Well, I think the thing is, I mean, I think some do, but I think people still watch them and just still throw it over the fence. You know, like, I mean, our philosophy as a company, very, very seriously, is always, for every player on any platform on a game we release, always have an awesome experience. Like, I think there's been a lot of games that are thrown, like, either to console and PC or PC and console, they're just terrible. And, I mean, it's just because people didn't put any care into it, right? I mean, we're both, you know, our feeling is that, you know, that's what we have to do, is for everything one of our games to really feel right for the player. That's our goal. I think I'm actually really proud of what the team did on this, because I think it's astonishing how much functionality there is in a pretty simple control system.
It works really well. It does, you know.
It's surprising, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I played it briefly at the New York Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
Like a while back, and
that would be even different. Like, that's one other interesting thing is, like, literally, I would say it wasn't until the last 2 weeks that it finally got refined down.
Yeah,
because we had the one guy on Rob, like, he played this at Gen Con and here, and he noticed a massive, like, I don't know if it was the interface, but he at least noted that the frame rate was way cleaned up from that.
Oh, it's really solid.
So, yeah.
Well, all kinds of stuff. Like, I mean, it's interesting because with all our games, like, we tend to have a very late kind of like finishing kick, where. It's that last little experience that really nails it. I think that's why, you know, we're very, very careful about that period. We manage it very, very carefully to make sure that, you know, you maximize. Like, every game has a sort of certain potential it can reach from a quality perspective, and based on the design and what you put in it. You know, one of your goals as a developer always to maximize that with, like, the reasonable amount of effort. Like, not crazy effort, but, like, can you maximize the output return on like, your efforts? I think that's, I mean, because we've worked on Dragon Age for years and years and years. Like a long time. I don't even know how long.
A long time. Yeah.
But and so the last thing you want to do is kind of blow it in the last month, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's been a very, very consistent philosophy for Bioware.
Well, it's always like the one little stupid thing is what everyone focuses on, right? Whenever there's like one little bug or whatever, it's like that's what people focus on.
Even
the rest of the experience could be amazing.
And you want to polish all those things out of it if you possibly can.
So what's the one standout feature in it, like, that you're most proud of Dragon Age? Or what was one goal that you had with it that, like, you're like, yeah, we definitely met that?
I would say that the sort of being able to kind of some way channel the original Baldur's Gate, like, you know, in terms of the breadth, the experience, the character interactions, with the continuous sense of surprise and wonder. Like, the thing that amazes me is, like, I just don't know what the game's going to do next.
Right.
Like, I'll go somewhere and I'll be like, I can't believe we did that. And it's funny because for me, like, I know at a very high level what the game is. Like, I know the broad strokes of the feature set, I know the broad strokes of the story, but I don't actually know exactly how the things were implemented until I play it. And when you play it, you go, wow, I didn't realize that's how we did it. And in a good way, like, in the sense of, like, I mean, because a few things, like the Deep Roads is actually surprisingly big, and you're like, oh my goodness.
I remember when I was in there about a certain achievement that might, well, maybe it was an achievement or a story bit. It was a man-on-man possibility or something, so you noted. So,
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. just so you didn't learn.
There's all kinds of, let me tell you, there's all kinds of possibilities in that game.
Now, what was the difference, though, from a game with multiple, I guess they're almost the same. Dragon Age, you've got multiple origin stories. Mass Effect 2, you've got multiple possible ways to get into it, right?
That's very true. I mean, for Mass Effect 2, what's interesting is that, you know, for us it was very, very important that people feel it was a continuous playthrough. Like, I mean, and for me it was interesting because when I first saw it working, like, I was really, really happy. Like, I can't specify the exact details, but what was interesting is, like, when I brought my stuff in, I was like, and it kind of, because immediately kind of transports you right back to your Mass Effect 1 experience, and you go, wow, like, I remember now, and because I haven't played it for.
I was really
a long
when
time.
I talked with Mac. I was really impressed to hear that. Like, if you kill this character, he's not there.
Oh, exactly, absolutely.
And just to me, to design that had to be incredibly difficult. Like to design around that.
You have to have the foresight, right? You have to project forward and go, okay, I think this is going to happen. So. We'll make sure that we have some variable somewhere storing it.
Where's the same data keeping?
Yeah, that was interesting because I think for I mean you had to have started the plan before Master was done. So that's the only way, because if you didn't know if person A or B was dead, you'd be like, well, it's too late. So we started early, and then like that's the benefit.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that. I think I don't think any game has ever done something like that where it literally changed the experience. Based on the first game.
Quest for Glory.
Yeah?
But it's very rare, I will say that, yes. It's not common.
I never played it. So
most people haven't. So, okay.
That was the Sierra ones, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
What was Heroes Quest?
It was Heroes Quest that got sued for a board game that had Heroes Quest.
Oh,
they renamed it.
That was
Quest
the third one, right? Third was Quest for Glory. The first one called Heroes Quest.
The first one was Heroes Quest, and then they rebranded it as Quest for Glory 1. Okay. Yeah. So.
That's funny. I didn't know that was. I remember playing Heroes Quest years ago. Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It was like that was like the merger of RPG and adventure, which is really actually an interesting experiment. I mean, it was not only a good experiment; it was actually a pretty cool game. So.
I've used the comparison saying, you know, a lot of the stuff that now I'm enjoying in modern games came from Quest for Glory, and it just, you know, down the road, some elements get dropped. No designers have to pick it up again. Some finally either refine it or they realize they can do it.
Yeah.
So, but the BioWare stuff, I've read all the books, and Mass Effect, I'm on like my seventh playthrough, so...
Seven?
Oh yeah, well, those ally achievements are not easy to get if you screw up, so, yeah. But, I've got
that, the next one's coming soon.
Yeah.
Look.
So, yeah, number two.
Well, Dragon Age will, like, blow your mind if you like the Baldur's Gate stuff at all, like, or like deep stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty crazy how, I mean... I worry about you for how many playthroughs you'll have to do for Dragon Age to see everything. It'll be worth it, though, let me tell you.
Well, that's good. I mean, so many games these days, you know, they might have a good story or whatever, but it's 5 hours or 6 hours and you're done.
Well,
and there's very little...
It's not super linear. I mean, we coined a term for that called the beautiful tunnel. Like, so you basically take the player down this beautiful tunnel and it's over and you're like, that was it?
Yeah.
I mean, and to be fair, I mean, something can be really, really, really fun in the tunnel, and that's the idea behind it. It's like a thrill park ride, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's going on a big Disney extravaganza. But, you know, it depends on the player. Sometimes you want that. And then, I mean, at other times you want, like, something that's, like, incredibly engaging and deep, and that's what we build. I mean, key thing to remember, too, for our stuff is the way it was structured, we still do it in a very bite-sized way. So even though Dragon Age is big, you can still, like, do a couple of quests a night and kind of play half an hour a night, or even 10 minutes and just, you know, run around, do some random encounters.
Yeah.
You can play it in different ways. You don't have to, like... Have to own your life.
Good. Cool. That's
awesome.
All I got, I
Thanks,
think.
Guys.
Yeah, it was good.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah,
it's all fantastic.
Awesome.
Good work.
Thank you.